This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis bringing you another old-time, old-fashioned gospel message we call the Old Trailblazer broadcast. Yes, we've been here many months now bringing you these messages, one study after another, speaking to you on the subject of divine healing, true and false, demon possession, God's grace, all of those great topics, my friend. And we come now, we're speaking to you on the sovereignty of God. And many are asking the question now, and have asked me this question, is God governing our world and shaping the destiny of the nations? Is God doing that? Does God know what's going on in our state capital, in our federal government? I say he surely does. He's determining all the empires and discerning the limits of kingdoms, shaping the future of the soon coming of our Lord. Yes, the Lord is. And I've been asked this question, does God prescribe the limits of evildoers, permitting them to go so far and no further? I say emphatically, yes. Not one moment has God taken his hand off of this universe. No, every man is under his control. If this were not so, the man would be sovereign and the world would do as it pleases. But he'd soon commit suicide and destroy the whole race. If all divine restraints were removed and man left absolutely free, at once all ethical distinction would immediately disappear, a barbarous spirit would at once prevail, and universal pandemonium would reign supreme. For instance, let this city here remove all of its law enforcement, the police and all of those law enforcement officers, just for 24 hours. Just let them all stay home for 24 hours and turn loose every violator. Take every restraint off of men, it holds men, and this city would be utterly destroyed. Now, that's right, my friend. Thank God for law and order. Thank the Lord for law and order. I praise the Lord for it. Do you ever stop and pray for our police officers, our judges and those things? I know we have wicked ones. I know there's problems in every department. Our judges, many of them are crooked and take bribes and all those things. But do you ever pray for them? Ask the Lord to straighten them out. I do, my friend. Listen, thank God for our law officers. That's right. God lifting his restraint, his hand, according to the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, is the main reason and the cause for the great tribulation that's coming up on this world shortly. Curse God if you please. Get angry at his word. Try to break the bands that hold you. Take counsel against the Lord God Almighty. But yet, you can go just so far and no further. Thank the Lord he rules and reigns. I thank the Lord for the reigning of the Lord. I thank the Lord for our law and order here. Our country was founded on law and order. I know that we have many who are disregard the law, but eventually they get caught up with. And if they never do, they spend eternity in hell. They'll suffer there for their consequences. Listen, thank God when everything shapes up, preparing for his coming. When he shall appear and every eye shall behold him, those who know him will rejoice. And those who have rejected him will cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. Now let me take time out here just a moment, my friend. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? You may not agree with the sovereignty of God. You may not agree with anything that the Old Trailblazer said, and that's your prerogative. You may not believe in the doctrine of election, the doctrine of predestination, the foreknowledge of God, or the sovereignty of God. No, you may not believe that Christ was virgin born. You may not believe that he's soon coming to receive those of his. But listen, could I ask you, are you prepared to meet eternity? Are you prepared to stand before the great white throne judgment and give an account of your sin? Are you? Are you, my friend? Have you ever been called on this earth to give an account? Like us boys back there in high school days, sometimes the principal called us in and said, now, fess up, boys. I want to know what y'all were up to back there behind the barn or back there behind the building or something. Some window was broken out. Somebody had to fess up. We had to stand and give an account. But, oh, my friend, that doesn't compare with standing before the great white throne judgment. And the Lord says to the recording angel, look and see there, angel, Mr. Angel, if so-and-so's name's written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. Look there and see. And the angel takes a book and scans through it, and he says, no, I don't find his name there. No, sir, my Lord, I don't find his name. Where do you stand? Do you know Christ? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know anything about salvation? Jonah said salvation is of the Lord. It's not John in some church, as the old fellow said. No, it's not John in some church. It's not turning over a new leaf. It's not reforming your life, throwing a bottle away and throwing a cigarette away. That's not salvation, my friend. Those are good things to do, but that's not salvation. Friend, have you ever been brought low at the feet of the crucified Savior with a rebellious, wicked heart revealed until you've been made to cry out for mercy? And then with, do you understand how that Christ died there on the cross? Do you know him as a living reality? Oh, it blesses my heart when one of my folks here comes to me and says, Pastor, you know the Lord saved me. The Lord gave me grace just to bow at his feet. I come to see that my sins were placed on him there on the cross. Do you know he was wounded for your transgression? That he was bruised for your iniquities? Do you know that the chastisement of your peace was upon him, and that with his stripes you were healed? Read Isaiah 53. 5 and 6, or the whole chapter, if you would. Do you know that God laid all of our sins, my sin and yours, if you know him, on Christ? It was this sovereign God that paid the price for your sin. Do you know that God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, according to Romans 5:8? What love, my friend. What love. What amazing love. What matchless love. Will you let such love break your heart at his feet in utter submission that you may come to know him, and whom to know is life eternal? Could I just probe your heart a little bit? Could I? Are you willing to go out into eternity on what you stand on? Is your church membership, do you think it will satisfy the judgment of God? Do you? Maybe you pastors or preachers are listening to the old trailblazers. You folks who I meet many of you here at the bookstore, you come in here and we talk about different things, but listen, do you know the Lord? How can I probe your heart with any more serious a question? Is Christ real to your heart? Where is your soul going, my friend, when it departs this earth? Did you know there's only two places? Oh, I know the world has been bombarded with this damnable doctrine of purgatory and all of those places, but there's no such a place there, my friend. No, sir. When death finds you, that's where eternity is going to hold you. And if you're outside of the ark, you're going to be like those folks who got left behind when the rains came. Did you know the rains came and floated up the old ark with Noah and that bunch of animals and his three sons and their three wives and Noah's wife? And it began to rain, and a few days later that old ark began to float, and there were folks on the outside. Are you on the outside? Can you say Christ is mine and I'm his? Can you do that? Can you say, old trailblazer, I appreciate your message. I know that Lord. I know that Christ. He's mine and I'm his. Oh, I hope you can. We've been looking for the last two or three days and giving you the studies from God's Word on the sovereignty and creation and God's sovereignty over his creation. We've shown you God's demonstration of his sovereignty in absolute control over all the elements, all the animate matter, inanimate matter, created beings, including all mankind. When the Lord Jesus Christ became flesh and walked amongst us, he demonstrated that same sovereign power. First, let me call your attention to an illustration given there in Mark 4:35. I hope you have your Bible. The Lord Jesus was asleep there in the boat when the storms rolled, the winds roared, and the waves lashed in fury. And the disciples, like you and I, they became fearful. Have you ever been out there? I have. I was in the Navy on a little old destroyer, and that thing would turn almost upside down. And I was on there, and I was scared to death, my friend. Listen, and I know what those fellows were. And I've seen the officers on that little old ship I was on put a boat over the side to go out into the water to pick up someone that had fallen overboard. A lot of times it was a drill. We didn't know the difference, but the waves were 10, 12 feet high, and that little old boat would stand on this end. And I would just stand there and shudder because I was afraid. I was afraid for those men, but they got back safely. But listen, I know how these fellas were frightened, and they said, they hastened to awaken the Lord. What do you do when it comes time when you're fearful? Do you run to the Lord? I do. I do when I wake up at night, when I'm afraid, wake up at night afraid sometimes, and Satan's harassing me, haranguing me, I go to the Lord. I cry out, Lord, Lord, you haven't left me. Lord, don't leave me. Lord, don't run off and leave me. Lord, don't leave me here alone. I can't make out. No, they ran to the master and said, carest thou not that we perish? I thought that was a terrible thing. They said, Lord, you don't care anything for us. We fixing to perish. You laying here asleep and we're perishing. Listen, what did he do? He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. Now, my friend, if you don't believe God is sovereign in any other aspect of your knowledge, if you don't believe that God is able, you read that verse, Mark 4:35-41. He said, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Is that not a marvelous truth in this day of unrest and famine and nakedness and peril and sore to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is sovereign over the wind, the rain, and the storm? Oh, my friend, that's true. I mentioned to you the other day, some of you may have heard, old Brother Whitfield used to preach out in the open air there in England. He was the first old open-air preacher. He preached to the tens of thousands out in the open field. And this one occasion on Sunday afternoon, he was to preach to 30,000. I believe there were coal miners. They had gathered together to hear him preach. And he drove up there on his horse and buggy. And as he stood up on the buggy, the wind was blowing right slap in his face. Blowing. Have you ever been out on the West Coast or West Texas when the wind blows constantly? You can't hardly hear anyone speaking upwind from you. And Brother Whitfield just bowed his head. He said, Lord, I can't preach in this wind. No one will hear me. My words will fall flat right here on the ground in front of me. And did you know what happened? Listen, folks, you can believe it or not. True story. The Lord changed the course of the wind, put the wind to his back where he could stand there and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to 30,000 people without any kind of electronic equipment. That's right. And here the Lord ceased and there was a great calm. Listen now, all of this being true, my listener, will you not flee to the Lord and find rest there in his arms? Matthew 11:28 says this familiar verse, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These words of invitation were spoken by the Lord Jesus himself as he walked amongst men, and I bring it to you today as God's ambassador. Won't you come to Christ today, my friend? Won't you just look away from all this sin and degradation, things that face us today, and ask the Lord to break that rebellious heart, that doubtful heart that you can't believe that the Lord is sovereign? Oh, my friend, listen. God is sovereign. God controls the wind, the rain, the storm, the elements. He controls the heart of the wickedest man on this earth, and he can turn it whithersoever he will. And it's grace to know the Lord. The old trailblazer, it's grace to know the Lord. I wish I had another hour to speak to you, but our time runs out so fast, doesn't it? And we have to get ready to come back tomorrow for another message, and next time for another message on the sovereignty of God. I wish you'd write us. I wish you'd pray for us. Let me know if you know the Lord. Would you sit down and write me and say, Pastor, I know the Lord, that Lord you're speaking of, that Christ that you know. I've been there. I know what you're speaking of. Would you do that? Remember the old trailblazer.
Post Office Box, 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785.
This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis saying goodbye and God bless you until next time.